Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We are live from the City of Angels, right here, Los Angeles, California. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host on this Friday night, Jimmy Church, filling in for George. He's at the Victory of Light Psychic Festival over in Cincinnati, Ohio. He'll be back again on Monday with Jeff Finn and John Greenwald. And yes, we are broadcasting from the Coast to Coast World Headquarters. That's right, the Command Center. And you know the drill. It's Friday night. The studio is dark. And tonight, we're going to go on another journey together. My favorite thing, and I talk about this every time I broadcast, I'm just an overnight radio guy. And my favorite thing about that is I get to introduce you to a subject, to an experience, and tonight it's a someone, and that someone is going to share their life's experiences with you, a contactee that you probably never have heard from before, but it's going to make you a little smarter, and it's going to take you, the Coast family, with me along for the ride, and I promise it's going to be one of those nights because our guest tonight is Adam Ambrose. Adam has had ET contact for over 52 years. He has been having multiple abduction experiences since birth, pre-birth, and some of these later turn into co-opted abductions. Ambrose then reached out to the late Bud Hopkins after reading one of his books, and the two had consultations, and they talked for a while. And then they eventually had a series of regressions in the 90s. We're going to talk about all of that tonight. It's an amazing story. When I was introduced to Adam and we had our conversations, our consultations together, I just knew that it was a story that the world needed to hear. It's an amazing one. And tonight we're going to do all of that. And also, it's Friday. It's Friday. We're going to be taking your calls. And because it's Friday, that means it's just open lines. My favorite night of the week. This is when I get to hear from the Coast audience, seriously. And also, tomorrow night I'll be back, and my guest will be Dr. Carmen Balter. We're going to be discussing the breaking news out of Egypt. She is one of the best, and you know all of the research going into King Tut's tomb and all of her research, we're going to discuss that tomorrow night. It's going to be a great show. So turn down the lights, get comfortable, and don't forget, Twitter is live to my left. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. You can hit me with any questions or comments during the show tonight. I read them all. Seriously, that's what I do on the breaks. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, filling in for George. He'll be back on Monday on this wet and rainy Friday night here in Los Angeles. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. I keep Twitter live in TweetDeck to my left throughout the show. So any questions or comments, and especially on a Friday night. Friday night is open lines. This is me hanging out with all of you. Tonight's guest, Adam Ambrose, is a guest that you probably have never heard from before. It's an important story. And it's one of those things that you're just going to want to interact, have questions. You're going to have that. So lines will be open tonight, and Twitter will be live at J Church Radio. Okay? And we have so much to cover. We're going to cover all of Adam's life and his ET contact. We don't have enough time to get all of that in tonight. It's going to be just like that. So stay interactive and hang out with us. Adam has had ET contact for over 52 years. He's just 52 years old. I think he just turned 53. How is that possible? We're going to discuss that. We're going to start in the middle of his life and work backwards. It's an amazing story. Yes, he has illustrations and he has photographs and he has evidence and he has the regressions with Bud Hopkins. He has all of that. But what he does have, which is most important to me, is an unbelievable story. And he has got all of it documented and written. It's an amazing story. So I'm going to go, rather than have a news break tonight, rather than do something else, it's very important to me to have Adam tell his story. So we're going to jump straight to it right now. And I would like to welcome to Coast AM, Adam Ambrose. Adam, good evening. Adam, good evening.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. It's okay. Yeah, just hit the wrong button here. It's okay, Adam. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Everything is good, Adam. And welcome to Coast. And now, your story is an important one. And I think that as we start to move along here, one of the reasons why your story is important is because it hasn't been told. You've waited your entire life. You've only been speaking about this publicly for the last 11 months. So I'm going to start there. Why did you decide to come forward to share your story?
Well, you know, I spent the better part of my life alone with my experiences. I had tried to reach out to my family as I was growing up and in my 20s. And, I always found every time I tried to talk about it, I found a lot of disbelief, resistance, a lack of understanding maybe. They thought, well, you just have a really active imagination or you're dreaming or something. It really never allowed me to adequately discuss it or to get the support that I was looking for. And it really was like you mentioned before we started. I did just recently turn 53, and I just looked back at my life, and I've been writing a lot in my journals the last couple of years, and I thought if I'm going to start talking about my experiences, if I'm going to go public with this, I better start doing it now.
Let's go back to Bud Hopkins, because I think that's a very important part of this, of your journey. So let's go back. You read a book of Bud's, and who is somebody that we all respect. And you read his book, and you were able to reach out to Bud. When did that happen, and what did you say to him?
Well, this goes back to early 90s. Actually, I had periodic awareness of my experiences. And then in 1993, I read the book Intruders, which was Bud's, I believe, second book, and Missing Time was the first book. And this book was an amazing revelation in my life, because when I started the book, all my memories were suppressed in that period I was going through. And I thought, it doesn't make sense. How can this be? I'd be hearing about this on the evening news if there was any basis in fact to these stories, and I just couldn't wrap my brain around it. But it triggered my memories, and by the time I was done with that book, I knew that I was an abductee. I was like, I knew this was real. I could relate to what I was reading. I was having very clear, very vivid memories that were particular to my life. I remembered things in great detail, and so I contacted Bud because I wasn't looking for publicity. I didn't want attention. I just was thinking, this guy is brilliant, because I loved the way he wrote and described the experience. I realized he had compassion. He understood what we were going through. And I just needed to talk to somebody. So I contacted him that way. I just called him on the phone, literally, and we started talking.
What year was this?
I read Intruders in 1993, and I believe it was late, like fall 93 or early 94, that I first called him.
And how did that conversation go?
It was, that's an interesting question, because it was just ordinary, like life is. It was mundane. I mean, I really didn't expect him to answer, because I thought a secretary would answer, so he answered. And I was surprised, and I was very nervous, because it's hard to come out, it's awkward to talk to somebody you've never talked to before and say, I've had these experiences. But at the same time, I knew that he would get it, so I felt relatively comfortable, breaking the ice with him. And he was very warm and receptive, made me feel comfortable, and because I told him, because I had time to think about this, about certain key, and I don't remember exactly what I told him, but there were some things he keyed into, he was interested in. I had talked about having had people with parallel memories and some witnessing. So he keyed into that, and he was just interested. We had an interesting conversation. He was interested in what I was telling him. So it led to arranging a meeting because he was going to speak at a conference not soon after that. And he said, look, you have the option. I'd like to talk to you more. Come up and meet me in New York or meet me at the conference. So we met at the conference.
And how many consultations, how many sit-downs did you have with him at that conference? And what did you discuss then? There was something in the conversations for Bud that he is looking for to signal that he needs to move forward with this, that it's an important case. Can you share that with us?
Right. I think it was multiple things because when he sits down with someone and does that first interview, he's throwing red herrings out, if that's the correct term, because he's kind of screening you. And I was kind of aware of that, but not so much. I just was like, okay, I'm just going to present honest, like I always do, because I'm an honest person. But I was aware of him questioning me. There's certain questions. He just wanted to see what I was like in person. Do I fit the kinds of stories other people tell? Is this guy for real? But I already had the sense going in from our phone conversations. He knew I was for real. That's why he wanted to meet me. So by the time we met, I guess I was pretty much by the time I met over that. But it got into more detail, and I was coming with specific memories that I was telling him I would like to explore this more. And the more I told him, I think that's what happened, is it just intrigued him more, to the point where it wasn't long before he said, I'm extremely interested in your case, and I'd like to meet with you, have some hypnosis sessions, talk with you more. And it was just, you know, like I said, there were some specific memories that he wanted to explore that he was particularly interested in exploring.
Yeah, and at that time, Adam, what were the experiences? Because that was 20 years ago, so you would have been 33 years old, 34. At that point, what memories did you have that were vivid that you didn't need regression on that you were sharing with Bud?
Right. I was 32, actually, when we met. The experiences that we explored under hypnosis, it was because I had told him there was multiple ones. One was when I was living at my parents' house when I was in my 20s, there was a neighbor, and I had this memory of a multiple abduction. Now, she had a baby, and I remembered the baby being abducted and returned. And he was particularly interested in that because that related to his research into the genetic, you know, aspect of this, and the family aspect, the reproductive aspect. So I was very curious about that. And also, he keyed into the fact that what I was telling him was, hey, I was co-opted. I didn't have that terminology at that time. In fact, I asked him, have you heard of this before? Abductees being used to assist to take other people. And he said, no, Linda Cortiel from the Linda Cortiel case was the only other person he had heard of. But at that time in the early mid-90s we're into now, he had been aware of some other cases, but his awareness had just been drawn to that aspect of it being co-opted. So it was that aspect he wanted to start looking into, the fact that I was a co-opted abductee with so many memories. And that actually came up. I told him. He said, you know, he didn't doubt me, but he wanted to see my reaction. He said, it's unusual to have so many memories and to have memories of so many witnesses. And I said, yes, I understand that. But with me, I have a very vivid memory, and I've had just so many experiences where I was co-opted, that the more experiences you have, the more likely it is things are going to be witnessed.
I want to stay on because this is the first experience and contact that you shared with Bud. And I want to start here at with this experience. And can you define what co-opted actually is? Because we're going to be discussing this for the rest of the night. What is a co-opted abduction?
That is I'm not sure who first used the term. It's also referred to sometimes as a sister, not a sister, like a brother, a sister, you know, an assistant, a sister. It is basically where the abductee is co-opted against their will by the alien visitors. They present to me as aliens. I use the term aliens. And it is not voluntary. You know, there is some school of thought out there that it is. I disagree with that. All my abductions were not voluntary. I don't look at it as wholly a positive experience at all. And it's basically just, they'll take me many times by myself, but many, many times I'm there in some sort of capacity to assist, usually in a capacity of being a sort of go-between. Like, in other words, typical abduction, at nighttime abduction, is they'll enter somebody's home, perhaps bedroom at night, and, you know, often the first thing they'll see is a gray or a sense of a person or a creature in the room. Sometimes they'll see a human. And that's where I came in. A lot of times in my experiences, I was the first, I don't want to use the word entity because I'm human. That sounds strange. In other words, they saw me before they saw a gray because that would scare them. And I was there to calm them. And this is what me and Bud talked about. That it's a role of being there to be calming, to assist. I don't know how else to describe it.
Okay, let's go to that evening with your neighbor and the baby. Exactly what happened?
Okay, that was I was taken from my bedroom. Typical abduction. I was in my bed, you know, in an altered state of awareness already because I was dreaming. So they'll take you often when you're already in that state, whether you're meditating, sleeping. I was taken up into a craft above my house. And then my next memory was that we came down out of the craft in a shaft of light and went into the house. I call it teleporting. On a beam of light, we teleported through a window, and it might have been a glass door. I'm not positive. I don't remember every detail about this event, but we went in, and the alien was actually in the form of a ball of light. I'm not sure if I was or not, but I remember entering this woman's bedroom, and I had communication with her. This alien had communication with her. And they basically conveyed to her this, that they were going to, they had some interest in seeing her child, her baby. And they were going to not harm the baby, but take the baby temporarily and return it. Now, she freaked out. She was very scared. And this doesn't always happen, but she was. And they had to sort of pause everything, say, hold up. They made like an extraordinary effort to calm her down. And I was part of this. I helped to calm her down, to talk to her, to explain this is okay, you will not be harmed, that sort of thing. In other words, they would prompt me what to say. It wasn't like I could just say whatever I want. They would prompt me, say this, and then I would say it. And it was like involuntary. It was almost like they had control over my motor functions. And so when she was calm, and this is something that struck Bud as really interesting, they deceived her. They manipulated her because they told her, we're going to go together. You will not be separated from your baby. We're going to go together. And when she was calm, they shut her off and they just left her in the bedroom and took the baby.
What do you mean they shut her off?
Okay. That's just a term that means in this subject, it means that the person is just put into such a deep, it's like being put into a deep state of hypnosis. It's just shutting off her conscious awareness, putting her out, putting her to sleep. She's off. You know, it's as if she's asleep, but I don't think in a dream state. It's just frozen.
But let me jump in. We're going to take a quick break right there. Our guest tonight is Adam Ambrose. He has had ET contact for over 52 years. Tonight, we're going to discuss all of it. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. Yeah, the studio is dark. It's raining and cold outside here in Los Angeles. Perfect night for overnight late night talk radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight is Adam Ambrose, and we're talking about his 52 years of ET contact that he's finally decided to come forward and discuss with all of us. Now, Adam, right before the break, we were at the point where she, your neighbor, was put down. She's asleep. She's out. What happens next? And most importantly, what happened with the baby?
Well, yeah, it's to make a long story short. I actually don't have a lot of memory of being on a craft, but the baby was taken from the house, was elevated, floated out of the house, and was put into a sort of container. And I remember standing outside the house watching the baby rise up in a blue light. There's like a beam of blue light that came down. And the baby went up on the craft. I went up on the craft. And my next memory is returning. The baby was returned, reunited with the mother. I don't know.
I want this picture painted, if you will. The ETs that were there, can you describe them? Were they your typical alien grays? Were they tall? Were they short, Nordic? Can you describe that? And how many were there?
They were typical grays, yes. And there were two or three. And they were either in ball of light form during the taking of the individual, sometimes not. Sometimes I would say I see a typical gray.
What were they wearing?
In this particular event, I don't have a clear memory of that. That varies in clarity from event to event.
And was there any smells in the room as well? And what about the communication?
That is another area where I don't ever remember a particular smell. I do remember sometimes when they would come for me in my house that I was aware they had some sort of scent or smell that was different, but I can't remember exactly what it was. The other question about the communication, it's always telepathic. It's always.
And when we say telepathic, it was it English? You know, I mean, did you have any problems communicating telepathically?
No, that's the amazing thing. It's very clear. Because it's like you hear a voice, and you're not sure if you're hearing. My recall of it is, if I was there and reliving it, I suppose it would be more clear to me and vivid. But I don't know if it's that I hear an audible voice, or if it's that it's an illusion of it. But yes, the perception is that you're hearing English. In other words, I'm perceiving they're speaking English.
And did you have a problem with communicating back? I understand it coming to you, but how are you communicating back? Were you able to do this communication right out of the gate? You know, no practicing, nobody was telling you what to do. It just came naturally.
Exactly. I have no memory of ever. That's an interesting question because I have no memory of fumbling, stumbling, having a difficult time with communication. Communicating back, it's a two-way street. If I think something, I know they can hear it, and I can sense that. It's almost like, it always reminds me of that film E.T., because he says, you hear its thoughts, and he says, well, I feel its feelings. It's the same kind of thing. You can almost feel thoughts, like they convey it so powerfully. It doesn't just come as words. You feel a whole sense of that entity's personality and also presence and just emotion a lot, too. I sense emotion there.
Now, how many sessions did you have with Bud Hopkins?
We did four But in those four sessions, we actually explored six different events.
Six different events, and the first event is the one that we're discussing now.
Actually, the first was not, I got the chronological order wrong, but the first was a memory I had where I was taken where I was a toddler, I was about 3 or 4 years old, and that's the first one that we looked at.
And that's an interesting event. You and I have talked about that one before, and actually, let's discuss that right now. Did you have, we've all had memories, we all have memories of, you know, the age of 3 and 4, the classic memories of, you know, getting something hot spilled on you and so forth. And was that one of those memories for you, or was this brought out in the regression with Hopkins?
It was not brought out in the regression. Yeah, it pre-existed. I was aware of it before we went in. It did bring out some details with the hypnosis.
Okay, tell us about that event. So you were 3?
I was a toddler. Yeah, I would say I had to be under 4 or 5, 3 or 4. Yeah, that's an estimate. I wasn't older than that. I know that for sure. I was, the memory is of actually being on the craft. The entire memory of it is just, I remember being on the craft, and it was a small room. I was aware it was a small room within a larger room because there was a door, and I remember coming through it. And it was like I describe it as a pot tent. It was almost that small. Well, it was, you know, maybe 10 feet across, 8, 9, 10 feet across, which is really small, actually. And the floor, yeah, I think we talked about this before. It was like a grate, like a black, I could see through it. It was like a black grate, like you see in New York City, you know, that goes down to the subways.
Mm-hmm.
And they had me sitting on the floor, and there was, I think my brother was there, and possibly another toddler. It's not that clear, but we were playing with some sort of toys. I remember them being like balls, possibly blocks, and they were instructing us to play with these toys, and they were observing us. And I remember at one point, this tall gray being who I felt a closeness with, a friendship, a familial kind of closeness, because they manipulated my emotions to feel that way. At one point, I was trying to get his attention, like you would to your mother or father, and he was ignoring me. And I felt really hurt by that and sad. And I remember this was one of the things I discussed with Bud, and I thought that was interesting that we had that. That it was so emotionally powerful in that way.
And typical gray again at that age. Were you able to, because this room was lit up, were you able to see details and remember those? Like, you know, clothing and what he looked like?
To some extent. A lot of times it's a little cloudy. But it unless I were to meditate on it and have hypnosis, it's a little bit cloudy. I do remember it being circular. It was a small area. It was somewhat dimly lit, and the being was typical gray, tall, I would say a tall gray. I recall that he, I believe it was wearing some sort of white garment. That's all I remember. It was whitish. It was light and colored. And I discussed the floor. There wasn't a lot of other detail besides seeing these toys on the floor. There was a dim light coming up through the floor, like there was an area under the floor that I could see into.
And looking back now and connecting these different events together before we move on, do you think it was the same race of grays from the other events that happened later in your life at the age of, you know, 20 and so forth that you were interacting with at the age of 3? And before?
Yeah, that's my sense of it. It is. I do believe it is.
And, okay, now back to this small pup tent size room. You have a steel grate on the floor. The floor is lit up underneath you. You think your brother is there, mm-hmm. and possibly another toddler. You guys are playing. There's an alien gray there. What else happened there? Were they just observing how you were playing? Or did something else happen?
I I don't know. You know what? It's a limited memory. Sometimes I'll remember more of being on the craft. Sometimes it's very limited. Usually I don't remember anything of being on the craft, so that's actually remembering a pretty lot relatively.
Yeah, right. And do you have do you know that if your parents missed you and how long the time was that you were on this craft?
Yeah, well, I have a sense of it. I have a sense of each event, the time. I do, the passage of the time. You get a sense of it. You're aware of it. It was typical. It was I would come to expect to be taken for anywhere from like 20 minutes to an hour, something like that, 30 minutes to an hour. But this happened in the middle of the night. They didn't all happen at night. When it would happen at night, of course, you're not going to have missing time. You're not going to be as aware of the passage of time when you wake up in the morning. But when it happens during the day, of course, that's a whole other area because you've got missing time and you remember it and you notice it.
What were Bud's comments about the toddler abduction?
What were his comments? You know, we're going back 20 years. And my memory is not that clear.
Okay, well, we can move on. It's just interesting because Bud, the reason why I'm asking is Bud has had so many sessions and so many experiences with different contactees and experiencers. And I was wondering if he had made connections with your experience with somebody else, such as the grating on the floor, other toddlers being there, and if there was other connections to other cases. Did Bud make any comments about that?
Right. Once in a while, yeah, that would come up. Like, I would ask him, has anyone ever said anything like this? And he would say yes. He wouldn't usually volunteer that because he would also hold back information to test you. He didn't always want to let on to all the knowledge that he had. He had a vast knowledge of details that, because whereas abductees aren't all going to report the same things at the same time. And yeah, his reaction as far as me being a toddler on that craft was that hit him very powerfully because he remarked that it was this incredible, I don't remember his exact word for word statement, but the dynamic between me and this creature, he thought it was particularly fascinating that I was sitting on the floor as a young toddler having this profound emotional experience, and here this being was ignoring me, and it's sort of like almost being oblivious, and he sort of pointed up, that's an example of how they can be, there's a duality to them, because they can seem so loving and compassionate when you're a young child, but they can turn and all of a sudden seem really cold and doctor-like and business-like, and it's rough on a little kid.
And you did six different abduction experiences with Bud. We've covered two. What was the third one?
You know, chronological order I'm not positive of, but let's see. Another one was the one that we explored that I felt that was most interesting for me was the experience of the implant in my nose. I had a memory that this metallic ball had fallen out of my nose spontaneously with blood.
And how old were you?
I was, this was mid-20s. I believe 24, 25.
25. And, okay, so go ahead. This is at your parents' house?
This was not. I was living on my own in my own place. And I was just sitting at the kitchen table, and I had this thing bothering me in my nose, which was like a lump, and it could move, and it, not in deep in the nose, toward the bottom, the opening of the nostril, and I just sort of pulled on it, and because it like a kid would play with a scab almost, but I wasn't being reckless or anything. It was very gentle, but this sort of plug came out of the fleshy part of the inside of my nose. And this metallic ball dropped out of my nose, and I was actually on the phone with my brother at the time, and this bounced off the table, and I say metallic because it made a metallic sound, And then it bounced off the table and onto the floor. And I remarked to my brother, I said, a BB just fell out of my nose. And then next thing I know, I'm slumped over on the table. I had blacked out. And I wake up and I call my brother back. And then I come to find out that there was missing time because he's like, where were you? I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, 40 minutes went by. What happened? He said, he told me you said a bee flew out of your nose. And I said, no, I said a BB fell out of my nose. And I said, but that was just 2 minutes ago we were talking. He said, no, that was 40 minutes ago.
What happened? Where is the BB now?
What happened was this bounced off the table, then it bounced on the floor a couple times right into the air conditioning vent on the floor. And I was just sort of sitting there watching this. I didn't even, like, have time to think, grab it, because I didn't know that was going to happen. I just thought it was going to fall on the floor and I'd pick it up. And then that's when they put me under, and when I went and had hypnosis with Bud, which I had partial recall of anyway, I remember with more clarity that there was a flash of light and a being came through the window in a flash of light, materialized in my kitchen, and then produced this grapefruit-sized blue ball of light, which he floated down into the air conditioning vent, retrieved the implant. It came back up with it, and then they left, and they took the implant.
And that's incredible. The ball of light came down over the air conditioning vent and retrieved the BB. Well, we call it BB. It was a BB-sized implant. Do you recall the color of it?
Yeah, it was gold-colored.
It was gold-colored. Was there any blood?
Yeah, there was. It was like a typical nosebleed. It was dripping out of my nose onto the table and on my shirt.
And back to the missing time, what did you remember from that? I know that you went back to your brother and said 2 minutes went by. In that 2 minutes, what do you remember? Do you remember the beam of light coming through the window? Did you recall any of that?
Yes. As I experienced it, I was on the phone with him, and then, okay, so the ball flies out of my nose into the vent. And then just after that, the next thing I remember was that I was slumped over the table coming to full consciousness. And as I came to full consciousness, that's when I had this image in my head of this weird imagery of seeing this flash of light come into the kitchen, just like a beam of light almost, as a memory. You know, I didn't remember it, I didn't experience it in real time, but as a memory.
And what about your brother? Did he have any idea about what was really going on?
Not at the time. We had discussed this growing up a couple times, and actually at one point he witnessed a being come into his room when he was a kid, and we share parallel abduction memories. Later, he had UFO sightings, and he came to realize he's also an abductee, but he doesn't have the recall I do, but not at the time.
All right, let me jump in. We're going to take a quick break, and our guest tonight is Adam Ambrose. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. 52 years of ET contact, and we're going to cover it all. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back.